how do you negotiate with the bank? How do you stop foreclosures? What's the process and how do you get it done? I had to learn by just failing. And so if I can give back and say, hey, let me streamline you so you don't have to make those painful mistakes that cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'd rather do that.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. I'm excited for our guest today, Nicole Espinoza. She's the best-selling author of Short Sales Uncensored and How to Master Short Sales. She's known as the short sale queen, and she's grown her company nationwide, expanding into 14 states at this point. She's been featured on several real estate panels, podcasts, TV segments. Her extensive expertise and knowledge in distressed properties has made her an expert with dealing with difficult transactions. And there's no better time frame as interest rates rise, an economy conversation surrounding, are we going into a recession? It's a perfect time to have Nicole on. So I'm excited she's here. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited you're here. Well, tell me, most people don't start off just getting into distressed sales or getting into short sales. Just tell me, what was the entry point into real estate as a whole?
Yeah, so I was completely ignorant when it came to real estate. I moved from Florida to Texas and worked at a REO brokerage. So it's a foreclosure brokerage, real estate. And I was actually the assistant to the broker. And that was really my first exposure to this world. And I was working with asset managers and I was running the office. And my relationships with the asset managers, I started really understanding how the banks worked and operated through just getting to know them and talking to them about what they needed from us. It was obviously a different world and a different type of client because the banks are ruthless when they're the seller.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything. They were just like, here's the legal description, figure it out.
Right.
And so it kind of just threw me in. I say this a lot in my office, like sink or swim, right?
Right.
And that's exactly what it did. I remember Googling like homeowners association. What do I do for a resale cert? What is that?
Right.
I was really young. I was, I think it was 22 or 23 years old. So definitely had something to prove. After I worked there for a couple of years, I got my license and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. It was very disheartening when you're having to do evictions and you're seeing the photos that come back of families and people that just honestly didn't know any better. They had no idea that there was something that they could do that before losing the home, right? They just lost their house because they didn't know they had options.
That's right.
And so as life would know it, my first listing as a traditional agent was a short sale. The homeowner couldn't afford to sell it because they had to come up with funds because of how much they owed compared to what we could sell it for.
Right.
And the rest is history. Literally, I was on the phone with the bank and asked a million questions. I'm sure I was extremely obnoxious, but I was just honestly young and hungry. And as a new agent, in my mind, I was like, I need this commission. Like, I need to close this deal. So I'm just going to figure it out. And that's kind of how it evolved.
During that era, did you end up going like I did? I was a licensed agent. I'm still, but I was doing a lot of listings at the time. You end up going and the listing presentation ends up in people crying because you're like, here's the reality of the check you're going to have to write just to get out.
It was really hard for this first seller too, because he was going through a divorce and I'll never forget it. It was my first listing. And he was just like, what do I do? And everybody in my office, everybody that I had talked to said the same thing. Don't waste your time.
Right.
It's not worth it. And the bank's not going to agree. And to me, coming from a background of just providing solutions of like, I'm just going to figure it out. It was a great thing that I was ignorant, because if I had listened to everyone else, I wouldn't have been able to help him. And I would never would be doing what I do today. And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs, like, or not entrepreneurs, but real estate agents, unfortunately, kind of why they don't get anywhere, gain any traction, because they only think one way.
Right.
And a lot of people in general in the real estate industry, if they come across a roadblock, instead of trying to figure out a solution, because everything's figure outable, I always say that, everything's figure outable, instead of doing that, they walk away and they say, hey, sorry, the bank said no,
right,
or hey, sorry, I can't help you.
Well, entrepreneurs, certainly successful entrepreneurs and a lot of real estate investors, what I like has always attracted me to this world is they solve problems. And people get compensated in direct proportion to the size of the problem, which they solve. Doctors get paid a whole lot of money because they solve really complex problems. And then in our world, you get comped for solving problems, right? Yes. And a whole bunch of people want to run away from the problems because they don't want to have anything to do with them. Right. They want to take an easy path, just like so many agents in an office. And I had similar experience for what others said at that time frame too.
Did you do short sales as well?
Yeah. So at the time I was agent, primarily Remax. I was a Remax agent, top guy in Iowa. And as the market shifted, I'm looking around going, what do we do? And it was time to shift at that time and ended up with the largest market share of short sales. Hired somebody in the office who only did short sales, right? And what this is like. So that means somebody's on the phone all day long talking to banks, right? On hold, trying to get through.
That's the hardest part when you're building your team, especially in my niche. So we have virtual assistants that do that because life is too short. So we had to outsource that part.
You're exactly right. It can be a really challenging to fulfill that. And there's the deal with the brain damage, if you will, going through that. So one thing I think is unique about you is my world morphed, moved into investing, moved out of the traditional stuff. And then, you know, as the market came back, we just literally at one point were like, okay, no more short sales for what it is that we do. You've made a specialty in short sales and you've expanded it to multiple markets. So tell me, how do you help folks? And by folks, I mean, not the borrower, but the investor, the agent, whoever that is, bring something to you.
Yeah. So going along with the theme of providing solutions, you know, as an investor that most people that are direct marketing, they are only direct marketing for one thing, right? They're like, how can we get the highest equity possible?
Highest equity.
Right. Exactly. If the numbers don't make sense, what do? They walk away.
Next.
Right. The leads are dead. They're next, whatever. And so what I do is it's a win-win. So I give investors the opportunity to be able to now capitalize on their existing leads, their existing marketing, and be able to now have a whole pipeline of deals that they wouldn't have had before. And so instead of me competing with investors that are doing high marketing and obviously have it figured out, like, why wouldn't we team up and collaborate and say, okay, you're not doing anything with these leads. They're dead leads to you. Let me bring them back to life, negotiate, and help that homeowner who needs still help, even though you can't buy it. And now you can purchase it through a short sale where the bank is taking the loss instead of you or the homeowner.
Right.
And so it becomes a win-win situation where now the investors, their ROI now is up because now instead of getting 20% of the deals, now they're getting 40 to 50, because even if they don't buy it, we still pay for the lead. So either way, they're able to do more deals with their existing marketing. And this is just a tool, right? Like right. Most investors need to understand, especially the newer ones, that you should always have a tool in your toolbox for every lead that's willing to sell.
That's right.
And a lot of people miss out on that because they don't think that way. They're just thinking, okay, look at my numbers. It doesn't work. Sorry, I can't help you. Next. Instead of, oh, you're willing to sell to me? Great. Let's figure it out.
Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Right. Lean into that problem, whatever, and find a solution. And this is a terrific outlet to find a solution. So somebody, they've got a seller, they want to sell, a short sale is going to make the only sense because the equity just isn't there. They've got something. Walk me through kind of how they interact with you and roughly what the time frame looks like from start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. So as soon as they identify like, hey, this is a potential short sale because there's no equity, at that point, they would tell the homeowner, hey, I still want to purchase the property, but it looks like this might be a short sale. Our partner, they're going to take it from here. They're going to call you today and they're going to walk you through the next steps to see if you would qualify. And we always recommend doing it that way, a warm handoff. So that way we can capitalize on the rapport that you already built, right? We don't want to compete against everyone else. If you're referring something over, do it to where you trust us, they trust us, and then that way they're going to be open to talking to us. The other thing that I tell investors is don't try to pitch something you don't know.
Right.
So a lot of investors, you know, let's be real. We're entrepreneurs, we're salespeople, right? So don't promise them $1 million, right? I'm being dramatic.
Right.
If you don't know the answer to their question, just direct that to us.
Right.
We walk them through everything. And we don't try to sell them on a short sell. We show them why, honestly, in their situation, that's the best possible outcome to get that debt settled and avoid foreclosure and still be able to get help.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And my experience has been for somebody who's in a situation like this, they're actually some of the easiest sales that take place, meaning easiest in navigating with the seller, because the seller's motivated, they're engaged, they want to get out, they want to minimize the detriment to their credits and all the other things that they can just get moved on and don't want a foreclosure in their permanent record. They want the ability to buy a home again and as fast as they possibly can. And this is an outlet to be able to best serve them in many cases.
Yeah, the biggest objection you'll ever get with someone that's in this situation is that they want to keep it, right? A lot of times people want their problem to be solved, but how do you overcome the loan modification objection? The objection of, no, the bank's going to work with me, and explaining to them, hey, the bank's not on your side here.
Right.
The bank's going to always look out for the bank.
Correct.
And unfortunately, a lot of people in this situation end up losing the house because they waste so much time trying to figure it out and they don't know any better. And that's where we come in, where we educate them of saying, look, I know that the bank is telling you that they're going to review it, but you have a sale date in 2 weeks.
Right.
And they're not going to postpone it. They're literally going to tell you, hey, you don't qualify. Sorry, you're getting foreclosed on tomorrow. That's happened so many times. And so as we walk them through that, we explain that to them instead of trying to sell them on it. And now we build rapport and they trust us to help them, represent them.
Yeah, denial can be detrimental to that seller.
Delusional.
Well, much better word. Yeah. Has there been anything challenging about you building your business and over the course of the last several years and interacting with multiple folks in multiple states? Have you found anything, or maybe what has been the hardest part about building a business?
Everything. That's probably the most honest answer I can give you, right?
Yeah.
When we expanded, it wasn't like I just woke up one day and said, hey, I want to go to New Jersey, right? I don't think anybody does that.
No one has ever stated they want to go to New Jersey. I'm going to get some emails for that one.
So the reason why we expanded was because as my brand grew and the reputation grew, we had people all over the country that were like, we have all of these opportunities. We just need someone to help us. And so that's how it's happened once we've set up in each state. So the obvious struggles were the relationships. We have to have boots on the ground. We have to make sure we have good relationships as far as title companies, understanding how each state works and operates, right? And we've crashed and burned. Like, we went into New York and we left New York because New York was highly often by attorneys.
Right.
And so what happens? Attorneys complicate everything. So we're asking for contracts and they send us letter of intents. And we're like, oh, geez, we can't do this.
Right.
So
what was the most challenging state, or has been?
New York, hands down.
Yeah.
Because we can't control, how do I say this in a political way? Someone's ego, I guess, is the nicest way to say it.
Yeah.
And the problem is I will give them credit that they have made themselves incredibly relevant for no reason. And so what happens is if anything takes away from your process, even if it's potential income, it's not worth it. And when people are thinking about scaling, you have to be able to automate. And if you can't, it's not worth it because the time that it takes away from other income.
That's right.
And so as we were scaling, we were finding out really quick, okay, this goes against our process and is creating more work. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
This falls right in line with what we're already doing. Okay, this is something we can do. So it was a lot of trial and error, right? Especially with some states on how they handle judgments and things like that. I mean, it's a lot harder with Texas. We are a non-judicial state, so we don't have to go to the courts. Now we're in states where we're having to go in front of judges to stop foreclosures. So it's a huge learning curve. And then being able to scale to handle the volume that comes in is always a challenge. I think everyone that's listening to this can agree that hiring is the worst part of what we do. I don't know about you, but I started my business to make money. And because I love doing it, I didn't start my business to have a huge team, right?
Right.
That was never on my radar. I just needed help.
Right.
And so balancing the culture and hiring and all of that has, of course, been probably the biggest struggle.
Yeah, it's people have their own unique set of challenges, do they not? Oh. What's the old saying, right? Real estate is easy. People is hard.
100%. Like, let me do the transactions all day. Right. But now I have to manage 11 people. Oh my goodness. That's a whole other ball game. And finding those right people that buy into your vision and that are in alignment with your brand. And we've gone through, I mean, I'm grateful. I've had Stephanie been me for 5 years. I've had Cheryl 4 years. I mean, we're talking about people that have been me for a while, but like the administrative positions, like big turnover, like showing them the opportunity. And as a leader of the organization, trying to be the person that is leading them to make sure that they have the right skill set for it, right? This could be literally a whole other podcast on hiring. So I'll spare you on that.
No, you're exactly right. And then it's providing the leadership and then showing them the big picture. What I found is what I say to my people is, especially the admin side of things, this role will always exist. Somebody has to always fill this role, but it doesn't mean you have to fill the role.
Yep.
Right.
Showing them the opportunity.
Showing them the big picture, where we're headed, right? And how they can potentially fit in. All right. So at this point in time, we're recording this the end of April here, 2022. We're at a spot where the headlines are saying, hey, we may be headed for a recession. Who knows, right? But what are you seeing in the pipeline as you see where we're headed? Interest rates are going up. There's a whole bunch of things that I think we can all factually agree upon. They already have. Where do you think we're headed through the balance of this year and into next year? How's it going to affect the short sale world?
Yeah. So we are already getting slammed the last couple months of people that have kind of been in limbo. So we have a lot of people that came out of forbearance that really were trying to figure out what they're going to do as far as maybe their company got shut down. Because this is a different type of distress, right? This was almost a forced distress where now the worst case scenario has happened where the world has shut down and maybe I wasn't prepared because of cash flow with my business and I let people go. Or as a company, think about how many doors were shut because of the pandemic. So now we have employees and employers that are struggling to figure out more income. Well, in the meantime, the banks have been pushing forbearances. And if people that are listening don't know what that is, a forbearance is where you're basically putting the mortgage payment on hold, right? They don't forgive that mortgage payment, but they're putting it on hold to buy you time. But ultimately, you have to come up with the entire amount once that period is over with. In this scenario, they did it for a year and a half, almost 2 years. Some people, it was 2 years.
Yep.
Forbearances are not intended for long term for that very reason. That let's think about logically. If you can't come up with one or two mortgage payments, how are you going to come up with 12? Like, absolutely no sense. So now what it does is it forces people to either become current once that date ends and come up with $30,000, $40,000, right? Or they force you into a loan modification where now they're trying to restructure your loan, which means restructuring the terms of your loan. Mm-hmm. And the way they do that is, hey, we're going to extend the life of the loan. Like right now, they're just implemented 40-year mortgages, which is insane. So can you imagine paying into a mortgage for 20 years and now it's extended back out or 10 years? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But it's a huge win for the banks. Huge win. Because think about how much more now of debt that they have that they can collect on.
Correct.
I mean, that they owe. So you've got that. And then you've got them restructuring the interest rates. So maybe people were at 3-4%, but the loan modification now to get you current is 6-8%. I mean, that's crazy, right? Because that means your payment's going to go up.
That's right.
And that's only for the people that are actually going to go through with the loan modification. The people we've been talking about are in limbo where I have to pay this and now I'm in foreclosure. And it's no coincidence that now foreclosures month after month are constantly increasing. So last month it was 34% and now they just came out with 54%. So every single month they're increasing for a reason because now people are like, I don't know what to do. And so we have the opportunity now to really educate the public, especially those borrowers that, I mean, at one point there was 10.1 million people that were in forbearance.
Right.
That's insane. That's a lot of people. So now we have people that were like, okay, what do I sell? Try to drag this out. Of course, the majority will drag it out, right? They're going to try everything they can to keep and save the house. So when you couple that with the interest rates and everything else, we're starting to see the market shift. And in the next 6 months to a year, I truly believe that this seller's market, lack of inventory, everything's going to change because now we have less buyers that can afford a mortgage. And now we have more inventory. And we're going to slowly start to see, especially in those states, that the protections are no longer going to be there. In the next 6 months to a year, we're going to see a different market.
Yeah, I heard the Fed chairman just a bullet point this morning speak and said their goal relative to interest rates is to balance supply and demand. Right now, we've in the greater economy, right now, we've got way too much demand given the supply. There's constraints on materials and everything else. And then if you just look in the housing market independently, right, there's way more buyers than there are sellers. So we've got way greater demand than we have supply. And so they need to balance that through manipulation of interest rates. They cannot increase supply. So what they're trying to do is curb demand. And so they continue to raise and raise. But then he went on to say, and the goal is not to cause a recession at the same time, which is a delicate balancing act, which they never get right anyway, which makes me think we are headed there, which brings our conversation completely relevant to go, this is going to be, and you're already seeing it through the numbers and through the increases that are taking place there.
Yeah, I mean, right now, because it hasn't shifted yet, of course, the people that we're helping, they have equity. Right. So we have time to stop the foreclosure. We have time to help those homeowners. I mean, don't get me wrong. We still have a lot of short sales. We do over 100 a month. But the homeowners that have equity, we're helping them sell right now before they get to that point. Because it's not hard. A lot of people think, okay, well, how can there be short sales in a market like this? And it's not hard. I mean, all you have to do is be a couple years behind, and then you have taxes and insurance, all of that increasing. We've seen balances from like their original balance, like when they first got the house, it was 200,000 and now they owe 300 plus. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter how much the market appreciates. It's not going to factor that much of a difference, especially because most of these people don't keep up with the house. Correct. Or upgrade the house. So it already has to be discounted below market value.
And it's shocking. A lot of people will not believe this, but even when we talk to a number of home sellers, I mean, they'll pull out mortgage statements and they still have interest rates at 5 to 8%.
Yep.
You probably see it as well.
All the time. And yep. Most of those, honestly, are because they keep restructuring the loan.
Sure.
And because they keep agreeing. And the way the bank pitches it to homeowners is, hey, we're going to help you. We're going to give you assistance. Sign this. You're not going to have to pay that $30,000. But of course, they're not going to explain, well, by the way, you just increased your payment. You just increased the balance that you owe. So if you ever do go to sell, you're most likely in a short sale situation. They don't explain that.
Yeah. What do you see in typical timeframes from the day one gets all the information to you that the bank requires, which is not small, to the day you can actually get a solution? What do you typically see in timeframes?
So of course, the timeframe is always the person that's negotiating, right?
Correct.
So yeah, the industry standard is like 6 months to a year mm-hmm. of if it gets approved for most people. For us, our standard is 3 to 4 months. That's our average timeframe when we process short sales.
That's incredibly fast. Well, I mean, given my experience, how much we've done. Yeah. That's tremendous. Where are things going for your business? This and if you look to the next year, are you guys going to be in more states? What's it look like for you?
So for us, we are trying to do really well in the states that we're at. We spend a lot of time in our education and educating other realtors so that we can start partnering up, because we don't really have the desire to be in all 50 states. I don't want to hire any more people in that sense of growing that way. But we are pushing a lot of education because we know that there's going to be so much opportunity, and we want to make sure that people are doing it the right way. When it comes to this niche, there's nothing out there. Yeah. Nobody that explains like the nitty gritty. And I'm not talking about definitions so you understand the concept.
Right.
I'm telling you how to do it, right? How do you negotiate with the bank? How do you stop foreclosures? What's the process and how do you get it done? And I had to learn by just failing. And so if I can give back and say, hey, like, let me streamline you so you don't have to make those painful mistakes that cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Speaking of education, I know you've got a killer YouTube channel that does a number of things and educates folks. Maybe tell me how long you've been doing that. What was the genesis of that? And then where can people find it?
Yeah, absolutely. So on YouTube, it's the Short Sale Queen. They can just go to shortsellqueentv.com and it'll head right to the channel. And basically, I started doing that as a way to educate and teach acquisition teams, because when I started doing it locally, I would go to like big home investor franchises. That's really honestly how I started with investors, working with a lot of different franchisees and teaching their acquisitions. Well, there's only one of me, right? So I couldn't go to New Jersey. I couldn't go to California, all of that. So really I did it for my relationships. And then it just evolved into agents and investors all over the country that now watch our information for education and really teaching them how to work with these type of sellers and how to get more deals. And so I've been doing it for the last 2 years. This is my second year and have been pretty consistent last year in putting it out there. But that's our main focus right now, is trying to put as much education out there as possible, especially because we have our boot camp and our classes and the book and things like that.
I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. It's great from a sales manager standpoint, which I still am, of our firm, to be able to educate and train the acquisition guys, especially as nuanced as this subject matter is, to be able to get them to a point where they can have a free-flowing conversation with sellers, and then to be able to take the next steps, which is make a connection.
Yes. And what I learned early on is if I can help you make better phone calls, we're going to send me better quality leads. And so that was the whole thought process.
Yeah. We're going to create some win-wins as we go, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's move on to the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote: you can have whatever you want as long as you're willing to work for it. What about that resonates with you?
I think a lot of people, especially in this day and age on social media, we are such an instant gratification generation, right? We are in a world right now where we have so many opportunities and we think like, if it's not working right this very second, like it's not working. And the reason why I even built traction on social media is because I was just real. I was just honest. Like, today sucked. No one picked up the phone. I'm not making money. I'm hardly making payroll. Like, this was early on in my journey. Yeah. And I thought it was really important to show that side of it instead of me sitting next to my Mercedes and showing you the fruit of my labor. But what you didn't see was me getting hung up on. Yeah. What you didn't see was me being broke and trying to figure out solutions that no one else had answers to that I had to just figure out. And so people have this limited scarcity mindset because they don't see it, right? Our perspective creates our possibilities. So if you see someone else doing it that didn't have the education, that didn't have the opportunity, but they went to go get it, like that's why I feel like that saying or that quote is so powerful. Like, there's so much opportunity. Like, there is no limit, especially in this industry.
Correct.
If you're willing to work for it, if you're willing to be consistent, you will automatically be successful. I mean, it might take a little bit. It might take a year. It might take 2 years to gain traction, but that's all what it comes down to. Like, at this point in my career, I'm like, hey, I just need more bodies. Like, I've got the tools, the resources, the training. Like, do you want to be successful? Great. That's easy. The success is easy. It's finding people that are willing to put in the work to get there.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, 100%.
I couldn't agree with you more. To come, if you think back to a period in your life and certainly in mine, I wished for an opportunity to be able to plug into something where everything was already there. They just had to show you to go, if you just do this and stay consistent, it's guaranteed.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, think about this. I was 21, almost 22 when I was in this business and no one gave me an opportunity. I was young. I'm a woman and I don't ever try to act like that's a thing because I know there's women empowerment. No, I'm a person that built a business, but in this industry, it's very male dominated.
That's right.
I was a single mom. I mean, just any excuse you can think of, right? Of why I shouldn't have been successful. I had no money to my name, literally nothing. And I moved to a new state where I had to start over. I moved to Texas from Florida. So I didn't even have people I knew to build a relationship with. And yet I'm here. And so that in itself is like, especially when women come to me, they're like, I'm a single mom. I'm like, and okay, cool. I mean, that's awesome. But what does that have to do with anything? Right? So remove the excuses, remove all the reasons why you feel like you can't, and just do it.
Just do it.
That simple. Just do it. Just take action. Even if it's imperfect action, just take action. You'll figure it out as you go. And then most importantly, plug yourself into the right environment so that you can keep going, because it's not easy. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it like I did it, because now 2022, fast forward, there's so many amazing communities that are willing to help you fast track.
Yeah. That is the interesting part about this industry, more than a whole bunch of other industries, is there is a very strong community.
There is.
Very positive community.
I wish I had that, don't you, when you started?
Yeah, because it was very different. Yes. I mean, it's still lonely at the top, if you will, but there's plenty of other people like us. And there's plenty of other communities of people like us. The pie is so big.
Yeah.
You can have it all, right?
100%. And you don't know that until you keep going and you start seeing it.
Yeah.
And those keep getting shattered.
Yeah.
Of your perspective.
You take your blinders off and look around to realize not everybody's against you. Not everything's bad. There's so much positive, and there's a lot of people cheering for you, even when you don't see them ever there every day. They're on the sidelines. They want you to win. They want to see your success.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
It's all the mindset. I mean, when people first start out, the number one thing I get from investors and realtors, and specifically investors, is getting to that first deal. Right?
Yeah.
You can see someone else get a deal. You can see someone else tell you, but until you see it for yourself, like, oh, I got this seller, I got him under contract, and then I sold it, and now I made money. Mm-hmm. Until you see that concept, it's hard to feel like it's real almost.
Right.
And that mindset of like, hey, I just have to keep going. Every no is going to get me closer to a yes. Like, pushing through is the hardest part. Once you get your first deal and you start making money, then you're like, okay, I'm ready. But that's what holds them back, is the belief that they can do it, the belief that it's going to work, that their efforts, even if they're not seeing immediately a result or an outcome, that it's going to make a difference a month from now, 3 weeks from now, 2 months from now, because you never know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
I have people I met 5 years ago that are like, Nicole, hey, I'm ready. Like, what do I need to do? I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that would have paid off in the immediate. And
right.
We don't see that, right? We don't see what's going to happen. That's why we have to keep doing, and we continue with our income generating activities, because we know that if we continue to do it, it's going to pay off. We just can't see it right now.
The action creates a result.
Exactly.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I would say I love travel. I love to incorporate both. So when I'm like speaking somewhere, I'm staying a couple extra days. I am so passionate about travel, yoga, and especially my kids. Like, I love showing them what's possible. The most exciting thing for me is that my daughter, she's a little firecracker. She could probably be a whole episode herself. She especially, but she's 7 and she thinks anything is possible. And I'm so excited for her, because I know that her seeing me this whole 11, 12 years, she thinks she can do anything. And that belief, she's going to run the world someday. And I know that I made that impact on my kids. And so it's exciting to bring them along on this journey and breaking really that mindset of what's been in my family, right? Being that person that starts of showing them what's possible and changing their perspective. And that honestly is the most exciting part of success. The money, great, whatever. You make it, you lose it, you spend it.
You spend it. Yeah.
Right. That's exciting, but that's not what keeps you going. That's not what wakes you up in the morning.
Right.
Like, the things I'm passionate about is the impact my success makes on my employees and their families, and showing them how to create wealth, and my kids knowing, like, if I want to do it, I just got to do it. Like, if I want something, I just do it.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most exciting thing. And so, not to go on a tangent, but I love traveling. That's probably my passion. I pretty much don't have a life besides that. So I try to incorporate.
Between running a business and traveling and 3 kids, you are a busy woman.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Honestly, I try to do everything through education and speaking events. So there are times where I'll show up and I'll just go to like do free classes for agents, especially like single moms and like with mentorship. That's my biggest, if I give someone my time and help them that way, like that's the biggest impact I can make.
It's dramatically can impact one's life.
Yeah.
Outside of YouTube, is there another spot where people can find you, follow you, connect?
Yeah, go to Instagram. I'm really active on that platform. My social is the Nicole Espinosa. So the Nicole Espinosa, and my website, thessqueen.com.
Perfect. We'll make sure all the links are down below in the show notes for folks. Nicole, I appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. It's fun to talk about short sales because, again, I think it's so relevant. And then what you've been able to do and how you benefit and connect with investors and agents alike who absolutely take it from guys who built this out. They shouldn't specialize in it. It's tremendous brain damage. You should outsource and leverage yourself up and just connect with a professional who's got it dialed in because you can accomplish so much more, so much faster. So it's really fun to connect. And the YouTube channel is perfect for folks who want to educate their sales and themselves about how to have fluid conversations with sellers.
Oh, yeah. And cost of entry is free. So go for it.
Yeah, it's worth the price. Thanks so much, Nicole, for connecting up here. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, for everybody at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.